two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We've got a developing story out of Geneva, Switzerland this morning. We are watching a news conference right now, happen live. Russian President Vladimir Putin. Putin and President Joe Biden holding a summit today, expected to meet or have met over the last several hours, Dave.
Yeah, when they met earlier this morning in front of cameras, neither leader was wearing a mask. There were no elbow bumps, though that would have been amazing to see, you know, President Biden go in for the elbow bump. But no, it was handshakes and no masks.
Very, very important topics being discussed today in Geneva, Switzerland. That involves some issues that Americans care deeply about.
Dave and DeGenevieve have inside sources.
So we brought none other than Boyd Matheson into the discussion this morning. Boyd, you've been monitoring this news conference. You've been monitoring the summit. What can you fill our listeners in on?
So I think one of the interesting things, it's actually happening right now. Vladimir Putin is taking questions from reporters. Of course, most of them are from his country. He did take a CNN question, which was kind of interesting. But he's really focusing on what I think is the most important thing for him, and that is his standing at home. Russia is still very obsessed with America and the United States and kind of that head-to-head battle. And so having this summit elevates Vladimir Putin once again in his own people's eyes. And he was very deliberate just seconds ago when asked a question. He was quick to remind the reporters that it was Joe Biden, it was the president of the United States who came to him asking for this meeting. And so I think the most important takeaway from all of this is not going to be anything about climate or anything about cybersecurity. It's going to be about Vladimir Putin and his standing in Russia.
Well, we're looking at nearly 10 years that he's been president. I mean, for a long, long time, it's hard to think of anyone other than Putin. And he keeps reiterating the fact that he's the man and he's been the man for a long time.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, he was in and then he stepped aside for a couple of years so they could do that tricky little constitutional bait and switch and then come back in and move that forward. So some of the interesting things that are going to take place and roll out, of course, President Biden will have his own press conference, I think, shortly after Vladimir Putin finishes his. We'll take that live, of course, here on KSL News Radio. But one of the interesting questions and where they felt they could come together was around climate.
Okay.
And I think that's such a challenging thing to really wrap your head around, because if you are going to talk about clean energy, stewardship of the environment, right now Russia is poised to pump more oil than they ever have in their history, and they're expanding their oil pipeline, gas pipeline. They've actually put in a new rail system to take more coal into Europe. And so while the talk is of climate and how we can come together and agree on things like climate, the way Russia is positioning itself is not very in harmony, I think, with what the Biden administration thinks of when they think of climate change and stewardship of the environment.
Well, speaking of pipelines, we got to talk about the Russian hacking of cyber criminals. Was not, according to the FBI, a state hack, but that paralyzed a lot of folks along the eastern part of the nation. That 5,500 colonial, 5,500 mile colonial pipeline that was hacked, and they were, you know, they paid the CEO ended up paying a $4.4 million ransom that the FBI ended up getting part of it back. This is one of the big topics that's supposed to be discussed today at this summit between President Biden and Russian President Vladimir Putin. But what can come of this? Because we cannot continue to endure multi-million dollar ransomware hacks that paralyze our nation.
Yeah, and this is another one. This is one that was very high on the Biden administration list going in. They talked about it a lot, that we cannot have these entities that are operating inside of Russia. So clearly the Russian government knows about them happening. And so very interesting, again, in the press conference that's taking place right near now, when Vladimir Putin was asked about that, he immediately flipped the script and said, now, if you look at the top 10 nations where cyber security is at its weakest, where cyber attacks are originated from, it's the U.S., Canada, then Mexico, South America, and I think Great Britain. Russia's not even on the list. So he was very quick to kind of flip it into a very general, very broad thing. So, again, I don't think we're going to see a lot of advancement in terms of hey, wait a minute. These guys are inside your country.
But it's Russian criminals who we know hacked the Colonial Pipeline and also hacked JBS Meats, which we have entities here in Utah. JBS reportedly ended up paying $11 million for that ransomware hack. And that one was pointed right back at Russian criminals again. So it's maddening that he wants to blame everybody else. But these are the two biggies that have just recently happened and are top of mind for a lot of Utahns.
Boyd, has anything been changing? I think back in 2012 when Senator Romney, you know, he was running for president at the time, he was talking about Russia being the number one geopolitical threat, and he was mocked by it by then President Obama. I think we have
this is to Russia. This is without question our number one geopolitical foe. They fight every cause for the world's worst actors.
Because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. In the 1980s, are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back.
Why is it that here we are a decade later, we're still talking about Russia, we're still kind of letting a lot of this stuff just kind of slip by the wayside? Oh, the election interference, oh, well, you know, no big deal. The cybersecurity, no big deal. At some point, how does the United States take Russia seriously, and how do we deal with them?
Yeah, and Mitt Romney was exactly right. And something he said in there that we often don't talk about, he talked about Russia funding and enabling a lot of the bad actors around the world. That continues to be true. We even saw that in the case of Syria. Interesting, yesterday I spoke with Dr. Leon Aron from American Enterprise Institute. He's born in Russia, Russian refugee, studies this, understands the psyche, and all of that. And he said, yeah, that is a big part of the strategy, is to create that division, that distraction. And Vladimir Putin has been at this game, you know, all the way back to his KGB days. And so he understands what it means to control a message. He understands what it is to create distraction and division. And I think you're going to see that continue to play out post this summit. I think using the word summit was a big mistake communication wise.
You don't think it's a summit?
This was not a summit, and this did nothing but elevate Vladimir Putin both at home in front of the Russian people and around the world. There were a lot of our friends at the G7 and the NATO summits who were very upset that the administration used the term summit.
Well, lesson learned for the new administration.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is this, like a non-Zoom meeting? Is that what this is more like?
A cup of coffee and a small dinner, I think, is what it should have been.
There's so many other things on the agenda that we'd love to dive into you with. I'm sure you're going to be covering this on your show today. We'll continue to monitor it here as well on the Dave and Dejanovic show. Boyd, if you see anything break out there in the newsroom as you're monitoring this news conference, and it's going on and on and on, will you run in here and let us know?
We will. We'll pop
all
back.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, and Debbie, for the longest time, you know, when I was growing up, it was Gorbachev and then Yeltsin. And then it's basically been Putin ever since. As Boyd had talked about, he's on his fourth term. He's served nearly 20 years as Russian president. And Russia is a major problem. And we just have not found a good way to deal with Russia.
Is it more than a thorn in our side?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
You're touching on it, because when you admit to nothing And that's what Russia is doing. They're not admitting to election tampering. They're not admitting to the cybersecurity issues. There's basically this very narrow thing they'll talk about, which is essentially like, I don't know, we'll switch some prisoners with you. You know, you give us two, we'll give you two. I mean, it's just a very contentious, very dangerous country. And I agree with Boyd. Calling it a summit, like what is actually coming out of this summit, quote-unquote summit, that is positive, other than the same old bluster we've heard from Russia for years?
Let's flip the switch. It's a national movement we want to talk about, including in Utah. Next, we're going to talk about why so many criminals are allowed to make their rap sheets just disappear. We're going to have a live interview with legal expert Greg Skordas.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.